Welcome to Medicine on Call. You know, I think this, we're living in some interesting times, and I don't know what to say. I mean, it's been a roller coaster ride since the Supreme Court has passed or ingrained Obamacare into our healthcare system, and it's accelerated. Everything that I thought that would happen is actually accelerating. This past week, Blue Cross Blue Shield Anthem purchased Cigna, and it's going to become one company and start in 2016. And in addition, this week in Georgia, there was a lawsuit filed against Blue Cross Blue Shield for unfairly taking money from patients who want to see physicians outside the network. Apparently, the patients were told by Blue Cross they have to pay more because they pay more for these out-of-network doctors. And the truth comes out that they're actually paying these doctors less than they're paying the doctors that are in-network. So it's complete fraud. And the former insurance commissioner is bringing suit, claiming, rightly so, that Blue Cross Blue Shield is taking money in terms of premiums and not taking care of the patients. And this has been, I mean, if you ask any doctor in private practice, who would have told you this has been happening for ages? But it is now systemic. It's ingrained. The insurance companies are doing it with impunity. And this is only going to get worse. An article I read yesterday stated something obvious, but really it crystallized what my gut was telling me. This is a boon for, you know, this movement towards consolidation, especially in Georgia, is going to make Blue Cross the biggest player in Georgia, which will give them, quote, more leverage against providers. You know what that more leverage means? It means lower reimbursements, more pre-certifications, more hurdles to jump, and the mindset of, you've got nowhere else to go, we've got you, and so what? And that's the whole problem with Obamacare, in my opinion, that it glorifies, it empowers this mentality and this action within the healthcare system. These insurance companies are going to be too big to fail. And when they stop getting, if they ever do, stop getting subsidies from the government, they're going to start crying poor and they're going to start lowering the standard further than they're lowering it now. We can't even send a patient at this point for a pulmonary function study because it's called experimental. That is an underpinning of what a pulmonologist does. If someone has an asthma attack, they have to figure out what their lung function is. Under this system, everything that's routine, everything that's important to taking care of the patient so they don't get sicker, so they don't become an expense to the system, is now arbitrarily being denied. And there's no recourse. I spoke yesterday to a CT. I had to order a CT scan for a patient with an excruciating headache that has been going on for over a week. She'd seen her primary care. She'd seen me. Nobody can figure out what's going on, so we sent her for a CT. Turns out we have to call the insurance company because they denied it because it needs to be approved or pre-certified. So I find myself calling after an hour, going through their system. I get to speak to a nurse practitioner who's not an ENT, who's not a neurologist, who's not anybody who really understands what's going on. And as I'm telling her about the patient's symptoms, that I'm worried, but I think it may be something maybe vascular, intracranial. It may be something that is acute. She's going through a checklist, not even listening to what I'm saying. And that's the style of medicine that we're entering. Disgusting, and I'm done with it. And I think I'm not the only physician who feels this way. And there's going to be an increasing number of doctors leaving the not only healthcare, but definitely the insurance model, because it doesn't work. There's nothing else that we can do as physicians and patients, and increasingly as patients, to make a system that doesn't want to help either one of us work for us. It works for itself. It works to make itself richer. It works to make you pay a premium and deny you access. It works to make me, as your physician, an agent for the government increasingly. I don't think I told you this, Dave. I'm not sure if I mentioned this, but under the new meaningful use guidelines, pediatricians now have to ask parents and children whether they think they're a boy or a girl, what their gender identity is. This is the system that we're living in. It's a capture of information. It's leading you down a path that they want you to think. It's marginalizing people, and you're becoming a population control, population-based medicine, where you're statistic, where you have to fit into a cohort, where they want to drive you into thinking a certain way, and ultimately, when you really get sick, they won't be there for you. Did you hear about that, about the pediatrician thing, Dave?
No, I had not heard a word about that. There was a deal this morning on the news that one of the universities, and I obviously very liberal university or whatever, is now saying you can choose one of six genders that you'd like to be when you fill out your paperwork. I didn't even know there were six genders.
Wait a minute, six what?
Six genders. You can
what?
You can be male, female, trans, homosexual, and it's like, I don't know where that comes in to be a gender, but we are so over the edge we're like a falling rock from a cliff. You can't get it back.
Well, you can get it back if you just don't play the game. Stop playing the game, because it's not going to work. And all the people who are being empowered to be professional victims are going to end up on the other side of this as well.
So let me ask, with this the buyout of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Cigna, mm-hmm. what does that do to the exchanges in Georgia? Does this mean that basically they're cutting it down to the no options at all? You take this or nothing?
Listen, most of the exchanges only have one insurance company, maybe two, in them in the first place. So there's no competition. It's a monopoly. And that's what I mean by too big to fail. I mean, Georgia never really had its own exchange. It was using the federal exchange. But the federal exchange is completely doesn't work. A lot of the private exchanges, the state-run exchanges, have gone out of business. Now, after the Supreme Court ruling, they're figuring out, we can stop hemorrhaging money. We can just join together in bigger exchanges, cross state lines. Well, basically, the government is going to take over the whole shooting match, which is, again, another slippery slope to single payer. I mean, this is what it's all been about, in my opinion, in the first place. It was a Trojan horse designed to fail, and they were waiting for the underpinnings to be upheld by the Supreme Court, which, as we discussed on the show before, is unconstitutional, the whole shooting match. Being forced to buy a product that basically doesn't provide what it says it does, and it's basically a tax. That's really what it is, and it's a Ponzi scheme. Remember that the Affordable Care Act, the way it was set up, you're supposed to pay into this thing for about 4 years before you get your benefits. It hasn't even really finished coming into fruition. The next blow that people are going to figure out are the PPO, high choice plans. PPO means you can see any doctor you want. You don't have to have a gatekeeping primary care doctor. You can go to a specialist. You pay more for that policy, but you get more. Well, that's about to be saddled with a 25% luxury tax, essentially. So they're going to charge these folks 25% more for their premiums, which will, I'm sure, price the majority of those people out of those plans. They want everybody in an HMO crappy model where you have to have some gatekeeper who gets to decide who you see, when you see them. And that also goes into the main engine of the accountable care organization. That's what that is. It's the HMO model on steroids, where the hospital, the doctors who are employed by the hospital, any ancillary staff employed by the hospital shares a pot of money that they get once a year, and they have to provide their care based on the amount of money they get. As I said before, the pressure is going to be to not provide the care so you can keep the money and make a profit at the end. And we see this. I've done talk shows and interviews on the growth of telemedicine. And telemedicine is in one avenue, one aspect of keeping the prices low because you don't see the patient. No brick-and-mortar visits, no supplies that are being used. When you take a picture of your wound or whatever it is you're taking a picture of, you send it in and you get a diagnosis remotely. And this is the most idiotic thing that I've ever heard. Why even be a doctor? You might as well just have an app for it where you can just submit it and then some computer will spit it out. But you know what? That's where we're going. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get one-size-fits-all medicine by Watson computer, some IBM computer, who gets to decide what your treatment is, whether you get the surgery, whether you go to hospice. They've been doing that on the VA system now for years. And look how that works for the veterans. They're not getting care. They're getting rationed. They're getting told, we can't see you at this ER. You need to go hundreds of miles away somewhere else. This is not medicine, and they're not even saving money. They're hemorrhaging money. So if this is really a scheme to save healthcare dollars, to be more efficient, it doesn't work. It kills people. It makes them end state. By the time they get treated, more end stage than they need to be, and it increases the cost in the whole system. You can't have a computer, and you can't run it remotely efficiently. I think that's just... It's not even my opinion. It's fact. Look at the VA. When they're running a deficit, they still haven't fixed what their problem is. It's pathetic.
You know, you say stand up, and well, obviously the best thing is don't go in to begin with if you can stay healthy.
Don't get sick.
Don't get sick. Beyond that, I know you're how are the other alternatives, the Liberty Health Share, the other organizations, are they standing up to it and able to offer an alternative?
I mean, to me, that's the future. It's the medical cost-sharing model is the future. Direct pay practices with subscription-based health care is the way to go. I mean, you've got three choices at this point. You stay in this healthcare system and get what they give you. You use the medical cost-sharing model, which, again, is allowed under the Affordable Care Act. It's written into the law. So when you choose any of these medical cost-sharing companies, Samaritan, MediShare, Liberty Health Share, you actually are following the letter of the law. However, you're making it work for you. They didn't realize. I think they really blew this off because, oh, it's just Christian-based. There's only a few churches. It's such disdain for Christians and anybody who has any kind of relationship with God that they just blew it off. I don't even know how it got inserted, but the fact that it did, we need to take advantage of that. And the third way is to go completely fee-for-service, cash-based, direct-pay primary care practice, where you pay a certain amount of money per month, and it covers all of your primary care needs. In any of these models, well, especially in that model, you're still going to have to carry supplemental, whether that be Aflac Mutual of Omaha for an indemnity policy or a high deductible policy for catastrophic, if you can find it. You still have to have that. I think Liberty HealthShare is my personal choice because it is so inclusive. As I said before, you don't have to belong to a church. You don't have to have a letter from your pastor to get you in, so to speak. You don't have to be in a traditional marriage. I mean, you can be in a partnership, you can be in a civil union. It covers anything medical, and it's expanded to cover integrative treatments, chiropractic, physical therapy, Chinese herbal medicine, acupuncture. And that's unusual. I find that that's unique to the medical cost-sharing model. And all of these things are based on membership. So if your members want to include something, you vote on it, and it gets added. That's democracy. That's how this is supposed to work, not some pencil pusher, middleman, bureaucrat who decides that they're smarter than everybody else in the room, who wants to game the system where they get more than you get, but they're trying to brainwash you into believing that you should be happy getting nothing. And better yet, what you got, you took from somebody else, so you should be ashamed for actually having an opinion or wanting to take care of yourself. I mean, we have to talk about this. I'm sure we're going to take a break soon.
Yeah,
let's take a break.
Yeah, we need to right now, in fact. So we'll be back with Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George right after this.
Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you probably notice that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you're able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will likely continue to rise, while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. We are committed to working with you, and we specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage, and we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, in the break, we're talking about synergism and the fact that there's so many assaults on us, mentally, physically, spiritually, that we're under attack. And I think people are getting sick and they're having issues that they never would have had all these things not started to come online.
Now, wait a second. Now, isn't this interesting? We get sicker.
Yeah.
We're covered by a one-payer plan, more or less, and going that direction. And in the infamous insurance, and particularly if you're older, you go in, you have something, well, let's send them to hospice. Let's don't try to get them over it. They're old and either they're old or they're too young, so let's send them to hospice and get rid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there something there we're missing as a society that maybe the government wants to kill us off?
Listen, the whole healthcare system at this point is based on cost. It's not based on care. You have to understand that. It's based on cost. It's 1/6 of the economy. You've got people pouring into the country who are accessing a system who've never paid into it, yet are taking money out of it in care. You've got a government who's raided various lockboxes for Social Security, for Medicare. Medicaid has just never really been off, you know. That's always been crying poor. You have money coming, more money coming out than more money coming in, and you have all of these diseases now. I just read an article that obesity is, it's totally out of control at this point. And it's the gateway to other illnesses, diabetes, heart disease, God, you name it, sleep apnea, all of these things that are going, reflux, all these things that are going out of control that are costing people money in terms of time off of work, in terms of medication they have to buy, in terms of productivity. No one's doing anything about fixing obesity. The only thing that I've heard is they've come up, the FDA has just approved a new balloon, which goes into the stomach, I assume, to make it easier for you to, you know, make you feel full so you stop eating. I'm tired of, you know, marching and putting a, you know, a ring around a tree or whatever you're doing to try to help fight the disease when nobody talks about stopping it before it gets started. You know, the food industry, we're talking about a lot of things on the show today, but the food industry really needs to be held to account for the poison that they're peddling. And the new bill that, well, at least it passed the House, it's called the DARC Act. It's a Monsanto-friendly bill, which will outlaw labeling of foods in the country. So even if your state wants to label GMO foods versus non, it's going to become illegal from a federal level for them to do that. This is corporatism on a huge scale, and it's global transnational companies driving the legislation of our country. What do you think TPP is? That's exactly what that is. And that has a far-reaching effect. All that whole Trans-Pacific Partnership is about us dropping on down to the lowest level, lowest common denominator, and following the laws of China and everybody else who wants to jump in and game us so that we can't take care of ourselves, can't be sovereign, we can't be individual anymore. That's what this is all about. It's globalism. That's the basic underpinning of it. And the healthcare system is now online to be added to that system. They're doing it economically. They're doing it socially. You know, they're doing it from a population standpoint. Remember that North American Union that we talked about ages ago? Well, it makes sense now if you think of all the people coming up from South America, Central America. Hey, if it's just the North American Union, then technically you should be able to travel wherever you want to go, right? So that, to me, we need to pay attention to that as well.
It just seems like they're piling more and more on from every different direction.
That's, you break the system. That's Cloward Piven, classically. You overwhelm the system, you create chaos, and then you bring new order out of chaos. And that's how they, what they mean by change, and that's what they mean by, changing America. You change it from, they're doing it from within, and they're making us work against ourselves, and they're pushing every single button they can push to make us fight each other, make us leery of each other, make us not trust each other so they can do what they want to, all of us. It doesn't matter what color you are. All of these artificial hoops that they're now having us, you know, ring, it's like a three-ring circus at this point. I mean, if we're so concerned or so distracted, this is what they do. You know, you change the laws so that you have to, you know, muzzle movies that talk about China. You know, you muzzle doctors so they can't, you know, be an advocate for their patients. You make patients pay more money, and you pay for things that you swore that they'd never pay for, like abortion. Medicare is not supposed to cover it. Taxpayer money is not supposed to go to abortion, for example. And Planned Parenthood gets millions of dollars from taxpayers. I didn't realize that. You know, now that all this is starting to come out, our taxpayer money is being used for things the government said it would never be used for. And that now is being expanded into the healthcare part of this, where you're paying for abortion if you're against it. You need to know that you're paying for abortion under Affordable Care Act. You know, they never tell the truth about anything. It's amazing how they get away with it.
As I was watching some of the Planned Parenthood stuff recently, a doctor performing an abortion didn't take the Hippocratic Oath. How could a person? I couldn't live with myself, and the descriptions of what they've been doing is just beyond the pale. It's just the grossest thing I think I've ever heard.
I couldn't watch it, and I've never been so emotionally upset. Listening to the characterizations, the description, how chilling, you know, ghoulish these people are. They're having wine talking about ripping babies apart. It's disgusting. And whether or not you believe choice or not, I think we really all need to come to terms of it's a human being. whether you have a conscience, if it doesn't bother you, that's, you know, that's on you. But ultimately, you can't say that it's not a living creature, it's not a human, and it doesn't have a spirit, a soul, a destiny. You can't say that. That's total denial. But the fact that they're using this system to make money off of children, that these women are being used as a money-making, as a money mill. I mean, there was an interesting interview from somebody who a whistleblower who used to work for Planned Parenthood, who resigned and became a whistleblower. And the amount of money that goes through there, you know, the patients pay, they get money from tissue procurers to do whatever they want with it. And they're making hand over fist if they still have money that they get from the government to top it off. I mean, and I didn't know this, but it doesn't cover, you know, regular patient care. It covers abortion and contraception. It doesn't do things like take care of you if you come in and you're sick. That's not, you know, why can't it be a full service entity? If you come in there, there's one push to get you to terminate your pregnancy, and that's the only push you have. Or, you know, or contraception, but not health care, not wellness, not women's care, then I have a problem with that. Well, for multiple reasons. But that's basically, they're not saying what they say they do and what they do are two different things. And the fact that they're making buku money on it, it's just smacks of just being totally ghoulish to me. The whole point of your existence is to kill a living creature and use their body parts for God knows what. Sounds like a sci-fi movie, doesn't it?
Oh, it's, just unbelievable. And why it's not shut down,
you know what? That's a $24,000 question. Because Republicans, Mitch McConnell, shut down the legislation that would have stopped defunded it. I have no idea why. And then you have Mr. Blubberman, the one who cries at the drop of a dime. I've never seen somebody cry as much as this guy. I think he's got that pseudo-bulbar affect. You know that thing on TV where they say if you cry, you laugh too much, and there's something wrong with you mentally? I think he's got that. He probably needs to be assessed for that. But they're crying at the drop of a dime, but we're talking about women's lives, children's lives that are being affected, and the way they're going about it, first of all, it's illegal. And he says he needs more time to look into it. It's unbelievable. We need to get these guys out. I just don't think there's any way at this point that you can work within the system that is in place right now, whether you're Republican, whether you're a Democrat. I don't care what you are. At this point, we should all believe and see that the government is not working for us. It's working against us. Are you still there?
Catch one right quick. I'm sorry.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Well, I mean, ultimately, it comes down to us taking our power back. And that means every choice you make now for your health has to be with intention. I mean, there's things that we can do that you don't have to wait until you get sick. You don't have to wait until you need the system. You need to start taking care of yourself. And the first thing I would recommend is that you start by getting a blood work and check your vitamin D and make sure that that's in normal range. There is a study that's come out in the literature that if your vitamin D level is normal, that if you have adequate levels, it actually has a cellular effect where it makes you less insulin resistant. And insulin resistance, which is the fact that your body basically starts storing fat, it's called the metabolic syndrome, and it's one of the underpinnings of obesity. Maybe we could stop a lot of people from going down that path by just making sure the nutrition is adequate, that you have the proper building blocks in place. Vitamin D is an easy thing to buy. And if your vitamin D level is in normal range, about 70 deciliters, it is 70% decrease in your risk of colon cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer. Why wouldn't anybody not want to take vitamin D? And also now it helps you decrease the risk of obesity, which leads to heart disease, which can lead to stroke. Imagine, for pennies on the dollar, being able to avoid getting sick, that you enter a system that's designed to break your bank, to basically take every dime you have and then make sure that you're made comfortable. I mean, it's an easy choice.
Dr. George,
another thing you can do is to stop drinking fluoride.
Dr. George, we need to stop there and take a break and come back after a couple of messages. We'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on americaswebradio.com.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that snoring can lead to chronic health problems? Snoring can be a sign of sleep apnea. Snoring is simply noisy breathing that can disturb those around you. However, sleep apnea is a serious condition that leads to a decrease in oxygen in the blood. The brain and the heart are two organs that depend on oxygen to function well. Studies have shown that a lack of oxygen at night leads to weight gain, problems with memory and concentration, depression, high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, and stroke. There are several ways to decrease snoring. For example, lose weight if you are overweight. Avoid alcohol at least 3 to 4 hours before bedtime. Stop smoking. Control nasal allergies to things such as dust and mold. And avoid eating dairy products such as milk and cheese. If you think you have sleep apnea, you should see a doctor to be evaluated. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. And as I was talking about before the break was strategies that you can use, easy, cost-effective strategies, because everything you do now to protect your health is going to save you on all levels down the road. You don't get sick and you can't be victimized by this system, basically. So vitamin D, I was talking about before the break, is one of the integral vitamins that you have to start looking into. And I think if you can get a liquid version of it so it's absorbed better, that's a better way to go. Not only is it a weapon against obesity, but it also has been shown to decrease inflammation. So people who suffer from arthritis, chronic pain, inflammatory bowel disease, anything that's got inflammation associated with it, vitamin D sits on those receptors and shuts down that pathway. And it's been shown on a science level to do that, which is amazing. Imagine not having to take, an Aleve or a Tylenol anymore, but you actually do it naturally. And you don't run the risk of liver disease or liver damage or kidney damage with the former and the latter. So Tylenol basically can damage the liver if you take too much of it. And the non-steroidals, Advil, Motrin, etc., can damage the kidneys. So there's all of these, it's a fine line lots of times between something helping you and something having a side effect that works against you. And that's why medicines are a controlled poison. I've said that before. They're helpful. Some people need them. My question is, Does it everybody need them? Does it, it should it be a one-size-fits-all? I certainly know that it's a cost problem because everybody seems to be on everything all of a sudden. But maybe if we would take a step back, try to help our body repair itself, we could drop back to pre, you know, medication boom levels. Now they're saying about 80% of the country's on something, and it's more than one medication. The average is, I think, like 7 or 8 medications. That's ridiculous. How much money are people spending on taking medicines that manage something? You know, you have to have a different mindset. And it can't be anymore, I'll take a pill and it'll go away, or I can take a shortcut and get there. You have to do work. And that means on all fronts. You can't expect Congress to help you. You can't expect, you know, somebody in Hollywood to have your back. It's about you and you making choices for your family and taking personal responsibility. And if more people did that, I think we would live in a heck of a lot better society instead of people preying on other people, you know, blaming other people for what the choices they made, which weren't very wise, and costing everybody in the process. You know,
Dr. George, a lot of folks have problems with doing things by themselves. And I was, as you were talking, I was just saying, you know, if you get a neighbor, your neighbor, your person down the hall, this, that, your best friend, whatever, and start working together, everybody working on health together. If it's going for a walk, if it's just sitting down and chatting over a glass of water or, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, I don't have a problem with it. I go down, have a pretty good gym set up in my basement. I go down, I work out by myself. In fact, I prefer it because I can concentrate on what I want to do at the time. But other people have a problem doing things by themselves, and it's easy to get somebody else involved and, you know, help them, and they help you. And I'd love to get some kind of program going on that. Help your neighbor, you know. When I was in the Army, it was, you know, it was always help your buddy, the guy next to you. If he's got a problem, help him a little bit, give him a little encouragement or whatever. And I think this could be a good, it's not going to answer everything, but it would be a good start towards helping a lot of folks.
I agree. I mean, we're the most socially connected on a computer level, on an internet basis, but we're isolated on another level. It's like people can't even talk to each other at a table, let alone, you know, be in a position to help. Look at this is how bad it's gotten. There was a story about somebody who got in a car accident. The person who rolls up starts taking pictures of the accident, doesn't render help, opens the door to take pictures of the people who are injured within the car. What kind of person? What happened to the Good Samaritan where you help somebody? It's all about sensational. It's just as if you're watching a video game. You're removed. You're remote. You have no emotional connection unless you're told what that emotional connection should be. And usually it's something directed at you. You're a victim. It's how you feel. I mean, it's completely upside down. And, you know, it's a little bit of a segue, but this is another thing that people are not aware of. The DSM-4, whatever the classification for mental illness, the things that they're making mental illness now is incredible. If you if you have a question mark about the government, of course, that's mentally ill. If you want to eat healthy, that's mentally ill. You know, so if you want to make good food choices, there's a problem with that. As I said before, if you laugh too much or cry too much, that's one. I mean, it's just gotten, if you believe in God, that's the next one. That's the most recent one. If you believe that there's a higher power that you feel connected to, that's mental illness. Because, I mean, this is what it's come to, Dave.
And what do they want to do? What do they want to do with that mental illness, as they just showed with the folks on Social Security?
Oh, they'll take your guns. Exactly. They'll take your benefits. They will make sure that you are even more rigidly controlled because you can't take care of yourself. There's something wrong with you. It's amazing.
It's a conspiracy against the people that put the people in power. It's just, what's the old saying, cutting your nose off to spite your face? And that's what the government is doing right now, and hopefully the people are going to stand up and do something about it.
I think there's a lot of people, silent majorities, who are figuring out that something's not right. Apparently, the biggest, the number of people who are growing in terms of private gun ownership and can still carry are women and black people. They don't tell you that. But that's who the majority of the new gun owners are becoming. Because they didn't realize you have to take care of yourself. And the system is not working for us at this point. It's trying to divide and conquer. It's trying to manipulate and control. And it's not protecting us. You know, it's not protecting our food. It's not protecting our health. It's not protecting our bodily safety anymore. It's just taking money from us. And it's educating children to work again, to be part of the system without question. That's a whole other ballgame. The Common Core, I thought it was bad, but I had no idea how bad that thing is. They had some sort of anti-bullying, and I think it was Ohio. I'm sorry, I can't remember what state it was. But an anti-bullying program that they sent middle schoolers to. And it turned out it was basically porn, to tell you the truth,
mm-hmm.
about how to, you know, how do you react with your partner, all sorts. I didn't want to go there, but it's disgusting. And if I were a parent, I would sue that school district for exposing my child to porn, which is really what they did, under the guise of anti-bullying. And you know what? I'm not a parent, but I have to say, if my child was being exposed to things that were against my ethics and morals, I would pull that child out of the school system. I wouldn't sit there and take it. And that's what's going on. We're just so docile. We're just so mannerable. While your children are being indoctrinated to work against you, to become snitches in your own home, to have no respect for you as a parent, the system is becoming their parent. They spend more time there almost now than they do at home, it seems like. The parents need to take control back of their children because that is the future for real. And states should not have that kind of power. The teachers should not have that kind of power. I mean, you've heard the stories where the teachers basically bully children who wear T-shirts that have American flags on them. They talk about, you know, how the government rules everything. They try to, you know, demean children who have an opinion. I mean, this is what's going on in school. That doesn't make any sense to me.
You know,
no parents standing up.
One thing I could suggest to folks that are listening is that if they have kids in school, read the books that are on the reading list. You will be absolutely amazed. They're having kids in middle schools reading books that many adults would never read. I mean, just, they're garbage books. Unfortunately, we've got to take our last break. We're up against a hard break right now, so we'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy, no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery and correction of a deviated nasal septum and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office. We use a state-of-the-art equipment so that you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment. We believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. You can rest assured that all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. We have choices. I mean, this is all about choice and about being able to use discernment to navigate the system. I'm not a person who believes in there's only one way to do things, that it should be, you know, if you can't get it done, then you just give in. I just don't work that way. And I went to a meeting this past weekend, and the takeaway was, you know, we're under duress as physicians. We have two choices. We give into the system. We try to work within it. Or we do something else. We go back to basics. We go back to what made us want to be physicians in the first place, which was always, I don't think there's any doctor who's ever finished medical school and wanted to go into it and didn't say it was about the patient. That was about the doctor-patient relationship. And it was about providing a service that is underpinned by respect and to make the patient better, not to gather information, not to deny them care, not to, you know, be put in a position where you let something else determine the care that you give a patient, sorry. Those things are not what we went to medical school for. Patients have been, and just like we described with the education system, they need to find their value once again as well. Instead of you coming in and wanting just to be happy with a doctor who barely spends 5 minutes, who writes a prescription, doesn't listen to any of your problems, or makes you come back for every single additional problem, you guys reaped what you sowed too. The fact that you took that and went to those physicians who practice that style of medicine without questioning it, without rebelling against it, this is what we got to. The way that I don't believe that Congress is ever going to change or repeal Obamacare. And an example of that, and this new, you know, they just voted again to repeal the entire Obamacare this last week, which is a total joke. Turns out it's just theater, because somebody had introduced a bill a bill that would have restored the 40-hour work week. That's something that would actually help the system. Right now, people are being encouraged to make people part-time, to lower their number of hours in order to not fall into the Obamacare track. And that's caused people to lose their positions. It's making unemployment higher. One little thing like that, going back to the 40-hour work week, that's a small thing, but it would make a huge difference in employment in the country. They voted it. They didn't even vote on it. This is the mentality of the Republican Party. And I'm done with them. They're not interested. And it's obvious. I'm not even listening to it anymore. I don't want to hear the word repeal and replace because it's complete crap. What it does is it's a gimmick to try to get you to give money to the party for the upcoming election cycle. Scam. They've been stringing this thing along now for, what, 5 years? Nothing's changed. And your question is, why can't you come up with an alternative? And let's go there for 1 second. I want people to have discernment on that health savings account mantra that the Republicans keep spouting. Let's talk about health savings account for a minute. Health savings accounts are not what you think they are. You may be able to save money. your company may contribute to your health savings account, but the bottom line is it is administered by a third party. That means you may save the money, but Blue Cross, United, Aetna, Cigna, whoever you have, will get to decide whether it's the service is covered or not, whether you need to jump through a pre-certification hoop or not. You can't just use your money for anything you want. They're deciding. So to empower that system, all it does is take, you know, change a little. It's like moving deck chairs on a Titanic here. As long as there's a third party administering your money, you no longer have power and access to your health care. And that's my major problem with the health insurance industry as it stands. It was supposed to, I mean, Dr. Singleton came on the show a few months back and said it right. They created, this is a system created by an entity, insurance companies, that do nothing. They don't provide health care. They don't take care of patients. They're gatekeepers who somehow inserted themselves and made themselves more important than they actually are. And we're in a position now where there's 10 administrators per physician in the system. All these people doing nothing but adding, taking out, siphoning money out of the system, creating no value, and gaming the system. This is the system that we're living in. Do you really want to keep empowering that system? Or do you want to really take control of your health back, take control of your pocketbook back? And that's where medical cost sharing comes in. We pay into a pot every month. It's a sharing pot. And there's no committee that's deciding, hey, this person's going to get the CT scan, this person's not. It doesn't matter. If it's medically necessary, everybody gets help. We share in the cost together, and it breeds personal responsibility. I don't go to the doctor for every silly little thing. But when I do have to go, I know that I'm going to be covered. And I don't have to beg for someone to cover me with my own money. I mean, just imagine. People are paying $20,000 a year in some instances for a family. And they're getting maybe $400 of their money back if they go for a doctor's appointment. The rest of that goes into a big black hole that while the entity that's capturing the money keeps crying poor, they're making tons of money. And it's not going to patient care. It's going to administration. It's going to CEO salaries. It's going to a board that's all about profit. And their profit, by definition, works against your care. Because they can't give you care and keep a profit. Wake up. You know, you need to actually start making some conscious decisions. If it doesn't make sense, if it doesn't feel right, listen to your gut and start doing some due diligence. I mean, it's a Ponzi scheme, and Obamacare further empowers it, actually puts the power of the government behind it, the force of the FBI, if you run afoul of having a false application, the power of the IRS, all those things are behind coercing you into a system and then making you pay more for the privilege of getting nothing. Medical cost sharing, direct pay practice, I'd have to say medical cost sharing first because you won't be fined. If you go direct pay without coverage, then you end up being in a position where you have to pay a fine. Medical cost sharing destroys that. I say work from within the system. Choose the path that's going to basically take money out of the system. And that's how you make the system change. It's all about money. If you stop using it, if you stop spending or feeding beasts, then you actually come out ahead. Can't depend on Congress to help you. Can't depend on, you know, the insurance companies to work in your favor. It's all about you and your family at this point. I say, you know, everybody that I've ever turned on to Liberty Healthcare, for example, has been really happy. A doctor came up to me and said he's saving over $1,500 a month. He's put his employees on it, and he's just really, really happy. You know, he's saving $7,000 in direct deductibles per year now. I mean, it's a no-brainer, you know. Check out my website. You can go to directlibertyoncall.org, or you can call them and find out. I mean, this is all about you and your family making positive choices and saving your money and actually putting a down payment on your future. I mean, I can't tell you how bad the medical system has gotten. And it's so bad now that if you do get sick with a catastrophic illness and you have means, in order for you to get care, if you're not covered or you're really under Obamacare as well, you're going to have to give up your wealth. You're going to have to give up your family, you know, passing it along to your children if you enter the system. And remember, if you get a subsidy and you do better the next year, you have to pay it back. So they're not telling the people this, but I really think that, you know, getting money back in tax season is going to be a thing of the past. And if you do, unfortunately, pass away, your estate will be attached and you will have to, your estate will be on the hook to pay back the benefits that the government paid for you. And that's included under Obamacare with the subsidies. So it's just like Medicaid now, just like Medicare. It's the same thing. It's basically that on steroids. So if you really, really want to protect your family, your health, your wealth, and not transfer it to this entity, it's time to start doing your due diligence. You can go to aapsonline.org. There's a wealth of direct pay practices on that website. You can go to libertyonthecall.org, and you can find out medical cost sharing from their model. If you want to do a more traditional medical cost sharing, you've got Samaritan, you've got Medishare. But do something, because at this point, if you don't, you're not going to be happy.
You know, I'd like to throw out another thing on this working together. Get a neighbor. If they're paying high insurance costs, work together. Look into Liberty Health Share and many and some others. But work together and find out the best, and then tell your neighbor, hey, you know what? I found this organization called Liberty Health Share. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
Talk it up.
Talk it up. And it doesn't matter whether you're Medicare or you're not. Because even Medicare, I would choose Liberty Health Share over AARP, which worked against me in setting up Obamacare.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I wouldn't even go there if I were you. And actually be able to see a doctor once again, because even if you have AARP and Medicare, there's so few doctors now taking Medicare, you still can't get access. And you'll end up in this huge hospital system where they're going to want to warehouse you and take your money and not give you care. Time to take a step back, and you have to pay for value. But surprisingly, it's cheaper than you can ever imagine. And by down the road, it's totally worth it.
Dr. George, we're going to have to end it with that. Been another wonderful session with you and program today. I appreciate everything that you do and everything that you wake people up with. So thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Have a great week, everybody.
We'll see you next week on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George.